1985. We invite you to join us every Sunday morning at 8:30 or 10:30 a.m. and on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. for worship services. We're located at 4701 Lee Street, just two blocks off MacArthur Drive. Until next time, may God richly bless you.
KYT and KQJO-FM. We're five cities strong all day long. Lead it. We've got Louisiana on lock.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel. This is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
I want to call your attention to St. John chapter 15, and I want to begin at verse 8. St. John chapter 15, verse 8. And it says, "Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples." May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. You may be seated in God's presence. For just a little while, I want to talk about the proof is in the fruit. The proof is in the fruit. The Lord Jesus Christ has shared some revelatory thoughts with us in the first seven verses. And he gives a greater and deeper understanding of this imagery of the vine. And he makes clear, because Israel is known as the vine of God or God's vineyard, God says in Jeremiah that he planted the vine, which was represented as the Jews or the Israelites or the people of God. And the prophet Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and Hosea all speak about the Israelites, the people of God, as the vine of God. But somewhere in the historicity of the Jews, they become a wild vine, growing out of control and out of order and out of place, suggesting that the Jews have gone out of God's word, out of his will, and out of his way. They have grown in ways that God has not trained them in. He has not taught them in. And they have become a disappointment to God. And Jesus starts off that verse by letting them know that they cannot have the benefits of a right relationship with God just because of the Jewish blood that ran through their veins, but rather that they needed Jesus Christ, the true Son of God, who is the true vine. And when it says true, it's talking about that is real, that is true, and that is genuine. And so Jesus was saying, you may be the proverbial vine, but I am the true vine. Now, as we skip down to verse 8, he says, herein is my Father glorified? Now, this word glorified, it has very different meanings in different places. But in this place, it means praise or praises. So it says or reads like this: herein is my Father praised. Now, what that suggests to us is, if you really want to give God real, true, genuine praise, bear some fruit. I think I'll say that again. I said, if you really want to give God true praise, if you want God to be praised, if you want God to relish in your praises, bear much fruit. God gets excited about fruits, and fruits that are born because they are in Christ Jesus. Because he says, so shall ye be my disciples. So let me make it make a little bit more sense, a little clarity of it. God is excited when he sees the disciples of Jesus bear fruit like Jesus did. In other words, if you belong to Jesus, then there ought to be some signs. If you belong to Jesus, there ought to be something in you that looks like him, that the Father can identify. And when he sees the fruit in you, he knows it's because it came from the root in you. And that's Jesus Christ. He knows you're firmly rooted when you are bearing much fruit. Notice it don't just say fruit. It says much fruit. God wants us to be fruitful. Matter of fact, that was one of the mandates in the beginning of time. When he made Adam and Eve, he told them, be what? Fruitful and multiply. And so when we are fruitful and multiply, then what God literally says is, you've taken what I've given you and you've magnified upon it. You've increased upon it. In other words, you have taken what I've given you to start with and you've made more of it. See, that's what God wants to see. When God blesses you, you know, I've told you before the story, the one talent, the two talent, the five talent. God was not impressed with the man with the one talent who hid his talent and gave him back the one talent when he came back to town. The Lord was not glad about that because he gave him what he gave him. And it showed that there was no participation in the gift. There was no gratitude for the gift, and there was no increase in the gift. So what was he to be happy about when you only gave him what he gave you back? But when you can show him you have multiplied, you have increased, you have magnified on what he's given you, then he gets excited about it. Some of y'all sitting around here on the gifts God given you, and you wonder why God just look at you like, lump on the log. He can't get excited about your praise because your praise is a whole lot of profession without possession. A whole lot of talk and no walk. A whole lot of saying you're going to do, but no proof that you've done. You ain't got nothing to say, God, look at what I've done with what you've given me. But oh, when it comes to your gifts being used in the world, you'll use them for the world and you'll use them for your own benefit, but you won't use them to glorify God. Something is wrong with that picture. Herein is my Father glorified. Let's not get it twisted. This is what my Father receives praise from. That ye bear much fruit. You can't bear fruit every now and then and say, oh God, you ought to be excited about this. God looking at you like, do you know your potential? Do you know what I've invested in you? Do you know what I've given you to be productive? And this is all you give me back? So you wonder why he doesn't give you more. Because you aren't doing what you can do with what you got. Are you hearing me today? You see, that's one of the reasons why God just keep on blessing the blessed. Because the blessed don't sit down and rest. They keep on going. They keep on moving. It's one thing to the next thing. They're going because, listen, they are excited about productivity. Listen, the church that pleases God is the church that produces fruit. God is not happy with all of the people of God who come into his church on Sunday and receive the word and go back into the world, into the dark places, and do not bear fruit. Do not tell people about Jesus Christ. Do not give them the word of Jesus Christ. Do not witness about Jesus Christ. And they are in dark places, on their jobs, in the workplace, in the marketplace, even in their homes, and even in areas where you might not believe. And yet they won't open their mouths to produce any fruit. Won't drop a seed that someone else can water it. And God give the increase. And they come back to church on Sunday and get another fill up and do nothing with what they've got. Now that's why he says, herein. When it's all said, verse 1 through 7 comes down to verse 8. Herein is my Father glorified or praised, that ye bear much fruit. Jesus says, so shall ye be my disciples. In other words, you are my disciples for real when you've got some fruit to your credit. See, a whole lot of us are church members, but we're not disciples of Christ. Don't get it twisted. We belong to church. We pay dues. Some of us pay tithes like dues, and y'all missed that, but you know what I'm talking about. They say they're tithers paying dues money. But and they may even serve in some ministry, but it's all superficial. It's all for show on Sunday. There is no commitment, no other time. They are not where God wants them to be, doing what God wants them to do. And so they wonder why God's presence departs from them. Look what verse 7 says, since you didn't get it on verse 8. Verse 7 says this: if ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto who? You. Listen, when you abide in the Lord Jesus, and his words, that means when you leave out of this place, his words are on the inside of you, like David, hidden in your heart, that you might not sin against him. His words are in your heart and in your mind. And so out of your mouth will come his words when you're in conversation. But if you have his words in your heart, look at what he says. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you can ask what you will. Here's what he's saying. You will know what to ask for if you know my word. Did y'all hear me today? You see, when you have to pray, Lord, give me your will. Do this and do that. No, back up. You should say, Lord, it is your will that I be blessed, or that I be healed, that I be delivered, that I walk whatever. But you know his will because you know his word. And the word says, it shall be done unto you. Why? Because if you're abiding in Christ and his words are abiding in you, then you're going to stay right there till the blessing is manifested. Where are you going to go? To whom are you going to run? He has the answer. He is the answer. So that's why he says in verse 6, if a man abide not in me, he shall be like a branch cast forth and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Now, there's a reason for that, because vine wood is a very soft wood, and it's literally good for nothing. It's not even good for a real fire. There were certain times of the year in Israel's history they were asked to bring fire to the temple for the holy fire of God, but they were clearly told, do not bring vine wood. And so they would cast the branches to the ground. They let them dry out and wither. And all they were good for was for bonfires and for trash fires. They were put in the fire to burn to keep them from being just trash hanging around. No purpose whatsoever. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and the Bible says, and they are burned. But now notice what he likens that to. He says, if a man does not abide in him. Now, so that means you just because you are saved and you do not continue to walk with God, then you are a branch that is cast forth. Cast forth. That means you are taken away from the vine and thrown away as trash. Well, verse 2 will reveal it more, but here in verse 6, it's saying that if a man, in other words, the inference here is if you choose not to stay connected, that's your choice. Know that the end for you is that you're going to burn as worthless wood on a worthless fire. But notice what he says, because obviously you're not really getting it. So let's go back to verse 5. He says, I am the vine, and ye are the branches. Listen at this. He's putting it in perspective, helping you to understand what really is real. If he's the true vine, he's making clear that he's the vine, but you are the branches. You are not the vine. He's talking about God's people, and collectively you're God's people, but just because you happen to be Jewish or part of the original people of God, you are not saved by that. You are now saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, by right relationship with Jesus Christ. And anything outside of that does not work. You have got to be, if ye abide in me and I in you, the same shall bring forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. Why do you think the stuff that folk try to do in the name of the Lord, unconnected to the Lord, don't come to nothing? Because if you are not in him, it's coming to nothing, because he said, without him, you can't do nothing. All of your efforts, all of your planning, all of your meeting, and all of that stuff comes to nothing if you aren't abiding in him. Well, verse 4 makes it a little plainer. Abide in me and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself. Listen at this. a branch cannot bear fruit of itself. Well, what does that mean? If a branch fall off the vine, it can't stay where it is and keep growing fruit. Because all the life-giving substance that the branch needs to produce the fruit is disconnected from it when it fell from the vine. So if you're going to produce much fruit, you've got to stay connected to the Lord Jesus Christ. So he says, neither can you, except ye abide in me. Now verse 3 says, now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Listen, what Jesus was simply saying was that he's given them the word of life, the word of truth. What he was doing was replacing all of those erroneous ideas, those thoughts, those traditions and things they had learned from men, replaced those with the truth. In other words, his Father has already done something that makes us clean, because the Father, in the second verse, has pruned the vine and taken away all of the bad branches and all of the branches that produced leaves but no fruit, and cut all of them back so that they would be productive like they ought to be productive. And the only reason why now they exist is because God sees they're already producing fruit, but they can do a whole lot better than what they're doing. And so he says, now you can produce the kind of fruit you need to produce because you are clean. In other words, all of the bad stuff and the dead stuff and the stuff that was holding you back is taken away from you, so nothing is keeping you from growing like you ought to grow now. And my brothers and sisters, that's what God wants us to understand. Everything that stops us from being the best that we can be and grow and produce like he wants us to, he starts cutting it off from us and taking away from us, since we don't have sense enough to let it go or let it alone. So that you can be the best you can be in Christ Jesus. And I got news for you, my brothers and sisters. There is a difference between those whom the Lord prune and those whom the Lord take away. Prune me any day, Lord, but don't throw me away. Because when he throws you away, there is nothing good left for you. But when he prunes you, it's a painful process. It hurts sometime. You cry sometime. You wonder why sometime. But I've got news for you. When it's all over, you will be better than you ever been in your life. Let me take a personal note here and share, if you will. I tell folk who I run into every now and then, they say, man, how you doing? Oh, you look good. I say, I know I do. If it was left up to some of y'all, I'd be 6 foot under now. Yeah, man, I'm like, John, what did you expect to see? What did you come out here to see? I'm trying to tell you that God's goodness. I have never, and I'll be, God is my witness, and as the holier than thou folks say, I lie not in the spirit. Now, they ain't say nothing about when they out the spirit, did it? They just say that I lie not in the spirit. I know you don't. But it's through the pruning, says, and that's what God said to me and showed me and helped me to see. And as he gave me that revelation, when he prunes you, when he does as only he the father, the husbandman, the vine dresser can do. He pulls everything away from you, cuts everything off of you, stops everything that was draining you from being the most productive that you can be. And it hurts sometimes. It's painful sometimes. Sometimes I've cried out in the midnight hours to God and said, God, why have you not hurriedly restored me? But he keeps reminding me he's still. Yes, sir. He's still working on me. He then reminds me when I want to get impatient and depression try to creep up on me. Paul, help him out if you will. Paul said, I sought him 3 times. And instead of him taking the thorn out of my flesh, guess what he told me, Montgomery? I said, I heard what he said. My grace is sufficient for thee. And my brothers and sisters, I got to tell you, God is faithful. And I wouldn't trade, listen at this, and I want you to hear me well. I wouldn't trade not one day of what I've gone through, because what I've gone through with God pruning me has drawn me closer to him than I've ever been. He's given me more revelation than I've ever had. He's given me more inspiration than I've ever had. I've leaned on him more now than I ever have in my whole life. And I'm glad about it. I wouldn't be as close to God right now had I not gone through and am going through his pruning process. That's why I say, Lord, have your way.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info@greaterkingdavid.org. That's info@greaterkingdavid.org. Our mailing address is The Movement of Christ Broadcast, 911 Lobdell Boulevard. That's Lobdell Boulevard, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70806. Visit our website at greaterkingdavid.org, or you may call our office at 225-927-0577. That's 225-927-0577. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, Dr. Montgomery would like for you to do 3 things. Pray for this ministry, partner with this ministry, and tell others about this ministry. Now, we pray the Lord's richest blessings upon you and invite you to listen each Monday through Friday at this same time for the Movement of Christ broadcast.
It may be hard to believe, but people just like you are already saving money. FeedThePig.org makes it easy. Their simple savings plan teaches you how to start saving without going overboard, so you don't need to ditch the car and start rollerblading to work.
I look ridiculous.
You look ridiculous!
You don't need to start foraging wild berries.
I was skeptical, but these are actually pretty good.
You don't need to sell your organs on the black market.
Lie back. This is gonna hurt.
Yeah, that hurts.
You don't need to rent out your apartment to drifters.
I made a fire with the wood in your bedroom.
That's my dresser!
And your closet door.
You just need an internet connection. Don't get left behind. Start your personal savings plan with the tips and tools on feedthepig.org. That way, you don't need to sell all your belongings and live in a commune.
These dungarees belong to all of us now, Tom.
Brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs and the Ad Council.
It's gonna be all right.
This is KAYT.
Right.
G.
Gina Alexandria.